NPR's Farai Chidea continues on her journey to healthy living. So far, her fitness challenge has already taken her on a tour de force of sports, and she's not done yet. This week, she weighs in literally on how to build a better body.
Everybody has an ideal type of beauty. Some people like them thin or athletic or round, and some people like them big, real big. Diane Solomons used to be a slender aerobics instructor until she found some of her husband's magazines.
And instead of finding Playboy around the house, I would find Muscle and Fitness or Flex, and I realized he likes these female bodybuilders. At that time, I was only maybe 110 pounds. Today, I'm 180. So at first, I'm like, I don't know about that, you know? I go, do you really like how they look? He goes, yeah. So, you know, I put him on a back burner for a while. I was already athletic, and I worked out in a gym, and I was teaching aerobics at the time. One day I thought, why not? So I went to a trainer in Gold's Venice, which is the best place to start because there's a lot of bodybuilders there. And 9 months later, I won my first show.
Diane is now a competitive bodybuilder and personal trainer. At 5'6", she's about my height and built like tennis star Serena Williams, but with arms and legs twice as big. Diane is currently Ms. Los Angeles 2005 and the only person to win that bodybuilding title 3 times. I asked her how people react when she walks in a room.
Although it's rare, I've been surprised actually how much positive I get. There is the occasional negative like, why do you want to look like a guy? You know, I don't feel that I look like a guy. So I usually don't tend to take those kind of things personally. You know, it just tells me I'm doing a good job because I'm big enough to be controversial.
That's right, and you can kick their ass.
Yeah, I could.
I've come to Gold's Gym in Redondo Beach, California, so Diane can kick my butt into shape. We start with abs.
Well, a good way to start with abs is do a reverse crunch in which you're starting a sitting position and you slowly lower yourself in a rounded position, each vertebrae at a time, down like this. Now, if you have trouble getting up, you can try it. Can you get up?
I don't know yet.
Okay. Then the best alternative is lift your legs all the way up. Lift your legs all the way up.
Okay.
Reach on your knees.
Okay.
And roll to the top.
Okay.
And then roll yourself back down. We keep going like this. And all the way back. Lift your knees again. Reach under. Roll up. We'll see how many you can do here. We're just sort of testing right now. Last one. She's sweating. I see it.
For me, there's nothing I dread more than an ab workout. Except hearing how pained I sound while doing it.
And halfway down and hold. 8. That's the hard part. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Down. Good. All right.
Thank you. Oh,
let's
that's hard.
Let's find a different one.
Okay.
Let's walk over to the main weight room and we're going to do some upper body.
Oh, boy. As I lay back against an incline bench, Diane handed me 12-pound weights for each hand. That's nothing compared to the guy next to me, who was doing the same workout with 2 40-pound dumbbells. I'll work up to that. As I continued to work my upper body with a movement called the butterfly that worked my pectorals or chest muscles, I began to wonder why anyone who wasn't a bodybuilder would even want to do this.
For someone like me who's trying to burn fat, why bother doing weights in addition to cardio?
Oh, there are so many reasons. Just to start with, when you start to lose weight, which is your goal, and you're losing fairly rapidly from what I hear, your skin has gotten used to being where it is. It's going to be fairly loose. The connective tissue is going to be rather atrophied.
True that.
And and if the weight comes off quickly, sometimes you're left with a lot of extra skin. So we're
this is hurting, by the way.
Oh, that's good. Where's it hurting?
My arms.
Your arms. Okay, 3 more. Up.
Guess it's my biceps.
Your biceps.
Oof.
1 more. Yeah, it's supposed to hurt, by the way, so that's a good thing.
Woo!
So weightlifting, paradoxically, is good for losing weight. But what about toning?
If I'm under 200 pounds, I tend not to have a lot of gut. I tend to have thigh fat, butt fat, arm fat.
And a better waist.
And a better waist, yes. Okay. You know, and so when I saw myself getting a gut, I was like, wow, you're really overweight. Because
yeah,
that's not even true. Where you normally gain weight.
Exactly right. When you start to gain in places that are not normal, that's a time to be really, like, looking at things.
So once I get rid of the gut, because I'm staying positive and things are already changing, I can see it, I'm always going to have kind of chunky arms. What can I do to get them in the best shape possible?
Weights, weights, and more weights. You're not always going to have chunky arms. You may always have a little bit thick arms. My arms are thick, but I wouldn't call them chunky.
They're not.
Now, they probably wouldn't get as big as mine unless you really put your whole life into bodybuilding, but you can change your arms significantly. You may end up with a few stretch marks, but if you keep on the weights, you probably can still tighten your skin. It looks pretty elastic to me. And black skin, you're very lucky you're black, tends to be more elastic than white skin, so it shows stretch marks more, but it tends to pull in and tighten up better. Just keep on the weights.
Right now, Diane is in what industry folks call the off-season. She's not training for any competitions. Currently, she says her body fat is 14%, but it goes as low as 4% when she's competing. Compare that to the average American woman, who according to the National Library of Medicine is between 22 and 25% fat. For Diane, the off-season leaves her more time to train other people, from everyday folks to bodybuilding champions. She loves it all.
I get motivation out of just helping people, I really do. I love my job, I'm a trainer. I could be doing other things, but I continue to be a trainer because it's my passion. It just sort of feeds on itself.
By the time we completed our mini workout, I was exhausted. Diane assured me that this kind of routine would only help me lose weight, not build bulky muscle. But before I left Gold's Gym, I had to ask her a delicate question.
What is your personal policy on steroid use, and what do you think goes on generally with female bodybuilders?
Steroids are prevalent in pretty much all sports where it would help their cause. My sport in particular, obviously, makes use of them a great deal. I have done them off and on. I have hopefully done them in an educated and responsible manner. I really believe right now that kind of the word steroid is kind of a buzzword. It's kind of been politically used as a big negative. But in fact, they can be used, they can be abused. They're like any other drug. There are helpful uses for them, and there is abuse of them. I try not to abuse them, but I would be lying to you if I didn't say that in my sport, pretty much everybody at the top levels does use them.
Are you afraid of any negative long-term health consequences or anything like that?
Of course I'm afraid of that. I've educated myself as much as humanly possible. And like I said, I have made my choices with what I know in mind, and I hope that I've made some wise decisions, but so far so good.
It's rare in the era of the baseball steroid scandal for someone to be so candid. Steroid abuse can cause medical conditions ranging from acne to heart attacks. It's not a path I'm willing to explore, but weightlifting is another matter. In fact, I've already incorporated weights into my workout and my effort to get fit and stay there.
That was NPR's Farai Chidea. You can see pictures of Farai pumping iron at Gold's Gym with bodybuilder and personal trainer Diane Solomons at our website at npr.org. On our next fitness challenge, News and Notes regular nutritionist Rovinia Brock is back to dish out the best ways you can stay motivated and keep your workout fresh. If you have any fitness questions for Dr. Rowe, give us a call at 202-408-3330, or you can send an email. Log on to npr.org and click on Contact Us.